All right, so picture this. You're running a business online, maybe, like an online shop, and bam, you're hit with a lawsuit from a customer in another state.
Oh, wow.
And you're thinking, wait a minute, I've never even set foot in that state. How could they possibly sue me there?
Yeah, that's a good question.
Well, that's exactly what we're going to be diving into today, how the internet, the digital age, is changing the rules when it comes to something called jurisdiction.
Right.
And to help us understand this, we're going to be looking at a landmark case. Snoney versus Haraz.
A very interesting case.
Buckle up, everybody, because this case is a serious wake-up call for anyone doing business online.
Absolutely.
So let's bring in our expert to help us break this down.
Well, you know what's so fascinating about Snoney v. Haraz is that it really forces us to rethink, this whole concept of minimum contacts in the internet age.
Yeah.
You see, like traditionally, for a court to have power over someone from another state, there had to be, a really clear connection, like a physical presence. But this case kind of threw a wrench into that,
Yeah.
all because of a hidden hotel fee
Oh.
and a very savvy plaintiff.
Okay, so let's set the scene for our listeners.
Yeah.
Our plaintiff is Frank Snoney, a California resident who booked a room at a Haraz Hotel in Nevada.
Okay.
Seems pretty standard, right?
Yeah, sounds like a typical vacation.
But here's the catch upon checkout. Mr. Snoney gets hit with this unexpected energy surcharge,
Oh no.
which he claims wasn't properly disclosed.
I see.
He's feeling a little cheated,
Yeah.
so he decides to take Haraz to court
Okay.
in California.
Interesting.
Now, Haraz understandably is saying, hold on, we're a Nevada-based business.
Right?
How can California courts have any say over us?
Yeah.
And initially, the trial court actually sided with Haraz,
Okay.
but the case went through a few rounds of appeals, eventually landing in the California Supreme Court.
Got it.
And this is where things get really interesting. The Supreme Court had to wrestle with this question. Can a business be sued in a state where it has no physical presence in the age of the internet?
That's the big question, right?
That is the big question. And to try to answer that, they turned to something called the minimum contacts test.
Yeah, the minimum contacts test.
So could you break down minimum contacts for us? What does that even mean?
Yeah, so think of it like, leaving footprints in the sand.
Okay.
If you walk across a beach, you leave a trail of footprints, right?
Right.
The more footprints you leave, the more obvious it is that you were there.
Yeah.
So in legal terms, those footprints are your contacts with a particular state.
Okay.
And the more contacts you have, the more likely it is that a court in that state will have jurisdiction over you.
So the court had to figure out in this case if Haraz had enough footprints, so to speak, in California to justify being sued there. And
Exactly.
they were looking at something called specific jurisdiction,
Right.
meaning the lawsuit had to directly arise from Haraz activities within California.
Yeah.
And to figure this out, they used a three-prong test,
Yes.
which is purposeful availment, relatedness, and fair play and substantial justice.
Those are the three prongs.
Okay, so three big legal concepts there. Let's start with purposeful availment.
Okay.
So what does purposeful availment mean in plain English?
Well, it basically means that a business has, deliberately targeted a particular state, actively trying to do business there.
Okay.
It's not just about having a website that, anyone in the world can access. It's about actively reaching out to customers in that specific state.
So the question was, were they simply passively existing online, or were they actively courting California residents?
Exactly.
And it sounds like they were quite active.
Oh, yeah, very much so. They had billboards all over California advertising their hotels.
Wow.
They ran TV and radio ads specifically targeting Californians.
Okay.
And even their website had California-specific content, like driving directions from California to their Nevada hotels.
Wow, so they really were trying to get those California residents to come over.
Oh, absolutely. And not to mention, they had a rewards program specifically designed to attract California residents.
Oh.
And a significant portion of their customer base actually came from California.
That sounds like they were really rolling out the red carpet for California.
That's exactly what the court found.
Okay.
All of those activities showed that Haraz wasn't just passively existing online, they were deliberately and actively targeting California residents.
They had a lot of those footprints in California.
Many footprints.
But what about relatedness, the second prong of the test?
Right. So for a claim to have relatedness, it means that the lawsuit itself has to have a connection to the defendant's actions in that state.
Okay.
So in this case, Snoney's lawsuit about the hidden energy surcharge had to be tied to Haraz's business activities in California.
So it's not enough for them to just be doing business there. The lawsuit has to be about something that happened because of that business activity.
That's right. And this is where it gets a little nuanced.
Okay.
The court didn't require like a strict cause and effect relationship. They use a substantial connection test, meaning there just had to be a strong link between the lawsuit and Hurrah's California directed activities.
So there doesn't have to be like a direct cause, but there needs to be a connection.
Exactly, a substantial connection.
Okay, that makes sense. And then what about fair play and substantial justice, the third prong?
Right. So this prong is all about balancing the interests of everyone involved, you know?
Okay.
The court considers things like the state's interest in protecting its residents, the burden on the defendant to defend a lawsuit in that state, and the defendant's, you know, financial benefits from doing business in the state.
Okay.
It's about making sure that it's fair for everyone.
So how did the court weigh these factors in Hurrah's case?
Well, the court found that California had a really strong interest in protecting its residents from unfair business practices.
Right.
Especially since Hurrah's was actively soliciting business from Californians.
Yeah.
They also acknowledged that Hurrah's had, you know, reaped substantial financial benefits from those California customers.
Okay.
And finally, they didn't think it was unreasonably burdensome for Hurrah's to defend a lawsuit in California, considering how much business they were doing there.
It sounds like the scales were definitely tipped in favor of California having jurisdiction.
They were. And ultimately, the California Supreme Court ruled that Hurrah's did have sufficient minimum contacts with California.
Okay.
And that it was fair for the lawsuit to proceed in a California court.
And just to really drive the point home, Justice Brown wrote in the opinion, by soliciting California business defendants, could reasonably anticipate litigation there.
Pretty clear message.
That's a very clear message.
That the internet has fundamentally changed the way we think about jurisdiction.
So what does all this mean for our listeners out there, all the lawyers and law students who are trying to navigate this new world of digital jurisdiction?
Well, for one thing, it's a reminder that the internet has blurred the lines between states. It's not just about physical presence anymore. You know, your online actions can have very real legal consequences.
Yeah, you can't hide behind a website anymore.
Exactly. You need to be thinking about, you know, how to structure your online presence in a way that minimizes your risk.
So it's not just about knowing the laws of your own state anymore. You need to be aware of the laws of any state where you're doing business online.
That's right. Especially when it comes to things like advertising and consumer protection laws, which can vary widely from state to state.
Yeah, it really highlights how important it is to understand the legal landscape of the digital age.
Absolutely. The rules of the game are changing fast.
It's a whole new ball game.
It is. Welcome back. So we've established that, you know, a big online presence can actually open you up to lawsuits in states where you might not even have a physical office.
Yeah, that's all thanks to Snowden v. Hurrah's.
Exactly. That case really set a precedent.
But now the question is, how can businesses adapt and protect themselves with all this, you know, going on?
Right. That's the million-dollar question, isn't it?
Yeah, it's one thing to, you know, understand the legal theories,
mm-hmm.
but how do we actually put this into practice?
Right.
Our listeners need, like, actionable advice, not just, you know, all the legal jargon.
So let's get practical.
Yeah. What can businesses do to sort of mitigate their risk?
Well, one of the most effective things you can do is conduct what we call a jurisdictional audit.
Okay. A jurisdictional audit.
Yeah. Of your online presence.
Okay.
Ask yourself, where are you focusing your marketing efforts? Who are you targeting with your website content, with your social media campaigns? Are you casting a wide net? Or are you focusing on specific geographic regions?
I see. So it's not just about having, you know, the best website or the most engaging social media. It's
yeah.
about being strategic and understanding the potential legal consequences.
Yeah, exactly. You have to be mindful of every interaction online.
Okay. So let's say a business is operating nationally or even internationally.
Okay.
Should they just avoid having an interactive website altogether?
Well, I mean, that's not really realistic.
Right. It's like trying to run a business without a storefront these days.
Exactly. But there are ways to structure your online presence to minimize the risk of legal challenges. Clear and conspicuous disclaimers. That's your first line of defense.
Right.
Your website should state clearly where your business is located, where you're legally permitted to operate.
Right.
And most importantly, what laws actually govern your transactions.
So you're kind of like putting up a virtual fence.
Exactly. You're setting clear expectations for your customers from the get-go.
Okay.
And make sure your terms of service and your privacy policy are very easy to find and written in plain English.
Right.
These documents are essentially your online contract, so they need to be clear, comprehensive, and legally sound.
Yeah, don't just copy and paste something generic from the internet.
No, that might not hold up in court.
It's probably a good idea to invest in some legal counsel to draft those documents.
Absolutely. It's worth it in the long run.
Okay, what else?
Be mindful of how you collect and use customer data.
Oh, yeah, data privacy. That's a whole other can of worms.
It is. It's a whole other deep dive.
Exactly.
But it's something you can't ignore. You need to understand what data you're collecting, why you're collecting it, and how you're protecting it.
Be transparent with your customers.
Exactly. Let them know what you're doing with their information and give them choices.
So it goes beyond just avoiding legal issues. It's about building trust.
That's right. Building trust is essential for any successful business, online or offline.
Okay, so let's say a business has done everything right.
Yeah.
You know, their disclaimers are, their terms of service are ironclad, they're being very responsible with data, and they still get hit with a lawsuit in another state.
Okay.
Then what?
Then you need a solid legal strategy.
Okay.
The first step is to assess the validity of the claim.
Okay.
Does the court actually have jurisdiction? Are the plaintiff's claims legitimate? Do they hold up under scrutiny?
So that's where you need a good lawyer.
Exactly. They can help you understand your options and develop the best response.
Right. Because even if a lawsuit seems frivolous, you can't just ignore it.
Exactly. You need to respond appropriately, and a good lawyer can make all the difference.
So if we had to sum up, you know, the big lesson from Snoney v. Harris, would you say it's about being proactive rather than reactive when it comes to online jurisdiction?
I think that's a great way to put it. You need to understand the rules of the game, be mindful of your actions, and have a plan just in case things go sideways.
It seems like the internet has really changed everything.
It has. The days of assuming you're only subject to the laws of your own state, those are long gone.
So in today's world, your business can have global reach.
It can, but that reach comes with global responsibilities.
And it's not just about avoiding lawsuits.
No, it's about building a sustainable and ethical online business.
Well said. Welcome back to The Deep Dive. So before the break, we were talking about how businesses can kind of protect themselves in this online world.
Right, all this jurisdiction stuff.
But there's another layer to this that we need to talk about.
Okay.
It's the whole idea of interactive websites.
Yeah.
And how that plays into all of this.
Yeah. The court in Snoney v. Harris made it clear that simply having a website isn't enough to establish jurisdiction.
Right. It's not like putting up a billboard.
Exactly. But when a website allows for two-way communication, you know, what we call an interactive website.
Right.
That's when things get a bit more complicated.
Okay. So what exactly makes a website interactive?
Well, you know, it's not just about having a contact form or allowing users to leave comments.
Okay.
It's a bit more nuanced than that.
Mm-hmm.
You see, the court recognized that interactive websites can be really powerful tools for businesses to engage with customers in other states.
Right.
Think about, you know, online shopping, booking reservations, or even just participating in online forums that a company might host.
Yeah.
These actions create a much more direct connection between the business and the user.
So if a business is using an interactive website to target customers in a specific state, that could be enough to establish jurisdiction there.
Potentially, yeah, even if the business have no physical presence in that state.
It all comes down to the level of engagement you're soliciting from users in different locations.
Yeah.
That's right. A passive website where people just kind of browse information, that might not be enough.
Right.
But if you're encouraging users to interact, to do business, to become part of a community, then you really need to be aware of the potential legal consequences.
So this seems particularly important for businesses that operate in industries with a lot of regulations, you know, like healthcare or finance or gambling.
Oh, absolutely. Those industries often have very specific rules that vary from state to state.
Right.
You know, a business might be totally compliant in one state, but then unknowingly violating laws in another simply because a user from that state, you know, accessed their website and did something.
So what can businesses do to avoid these kinds of jurisdictional headaches?
Well, transparency is key. Like, always make sure your website clearly discloses the geographic scope of your business.
Okay.
Are you licensed to operate in all 50 states or just a few? Be upfront about it.
So a business could include a disclaimer saying, you know, they're only licensed to operate in certain states.
Exactly. You want to manage expectations. Let people know who you are and where you do business.
Okay.
And be careful with your online advertising, too.
Right.
If you're only licensed to operate in a handful of states, you shouldn't be targeting ads to people in states where you're not allowed to do business.
Makes sense. That's just asking for trouble.
It is. And what about those terms of service and privacy policies?
Yeah, those are important.
They should be super clear and easy to find, and they should state what laws govern your website and any transactions.
So it's all about being proactive.
It is. Understand the rules of the game. Be mindful of your actions.
The internet has blurred so many boundaries.
It has. You're essentially operating in a global marketplace.
This has been such a fascinating look at online jurisdiction.
Yeah.
Especially in light of this Snowy versus Horoz case.
It's a landmark case.
It really feels like the internet has created this whole new world for businesses to figure out.
It has, and it's constantly changing too.
Businesses need to stay informed.
Absolutely, and don't be afraid to seek out expert legal advice.
Great advice. Yeah. Well, thank you so much for joining us on The Deep Dive. We hope you found this exploration of online jurisdiction informative and helpful.
My pleasure.
Until next time, everyone, stay curious, stay informed,
yeah,
and stay ahead of the curve.